Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with myself, Paul O'Kane, with James McElroy. James is a former Irish and British athlete, and today James is going to tell us a wee bit about how he got into running and just a wee bit about his life and where he is now. So, James, thanks very much for coming. You're very welcome.
Paul, thanks for having us on. It's been a while since I've done one of these, so it's most welcome. Delighted to be here.
Happy days. So, James, tell us a wee bit about, your background, your younger days, where you grew up, who were your influences? That's about three questions in one.
Yeah, no worries. Well, I grew up in Larne, County Antrim, so I've always, I am a home bird. I've lived in South Africa and I've lived in London. As well for when I competed, but home's home. So I guess my background, how I got into running, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was a comedy of errors, but I always wanted to be a footballer, obviously with George Best coming from and being a Man United supporter. But I played all sports at school, and certainly my father encouraged that. He came from a sporting family. My grandfather, Sid McElroy, played for Belfast Celtic in the glory years, sort of in the war. So he was, even when I ran, you know, old timers would have come up and said, you know, from West Belfast, or you're not in the do, Sid McElroy. So, it was, you know, I always got that. Mm-hmm. I played all sports at school. I played rugby. I went to Ballyclare High and then Larne Grammar. Played football, which was probably my first love. Ballyclare High had great PE staff, and I was always encouraged because I did cross country and I did athletics in the summer, mainly to get out of lessons. But the teachers, especially the vice principal, Wilbert Hollinger, massive athletics fan, mm-hmm. they really pushed me in athletics. So I didn't train. I ran off football training, which is actually a good way to train for 800 meters, incidentally. But anyway, short and fast. So I did that, and it was probably what I would have been best at. Football was always very fit and very fast, but just at that level, you know, played for Larne Olympic, then had trials for Darlington at university, didn't get any further. And then it was actually, I didn't probably do athletics from the age of 16 to 20, and it was after I didn't get selected to go further with Darlington Football Club. I went back into athletics with Ballymena and Antrim and the Kyles. Obviously, Maeve Kyle and Sean Kyle were famous names in Irish athletics. Mm-hmm. Through my sister, my younger sister was getting back into athletics, and she said, where should I go? And I said, Ballymena and Antrim. And then that was 1997. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I turned pro, I guess, in 1998. So it happened quite quickly for me. And that's really how I got into running. And I'd say, you know, you have highs and lows. I think sport mirrors, it magnifies life in many respects. Mm. But yeah, I never looked back, and it was definitely my calling, still is my calling. I've worked my whole life in sport, last 25 years. And yeah, that's sort of a very whistle-stop tour how I got into running.
And you did, what age then did you sort of, was your first competitive meeting, 20 or 19?
I'll tell you now, my first race was in April 1997, and I ran 1:59, and I was devastated because I went through in 54 seconds. So if you can do the maths, my second lap was horrible. And I think I came second last, but I give it a go. And then my next race was 1:56, and then my next race was 1:53, and then my next race was 1:51. So it took a big chunk that first year. And then my next race at the start of 1998 was 1:48, then 1:40.
All for 800 metres?
All for 800. Now, 800. I did the odd 1500 as well, but that was always usually, so just in terms of periodising an athletics calendar for a middle distance runner, if you're an 800 metre runner, you would have started off with a 1500, then you would have done a 400, and then you would have went into your first 800. That's usually how you would have done it, how I did it. Mm-hmm. So under distance, over distance, and then your first one.
And is that still the way they train?
Yeah, pretty much.
But pretty much, not real.
It's slightly different now with there being more Diamond Leagues, which used to be Golden League, and then I got that change into Diamond Leagues. That's right. There's more of them, but generally speaking, because of appearance fees and everything else, mm-hmm. if you're a 1500 meter runner, you're a 1500 meter runner. To be at 8:15, you're in, like a Sebastian Coestivo vet, you need to be incredibly versatile. Mm-hmm. And it's not done as much now. Mm-hmm. It just isn't done as much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Makes sense. So, what's your greatest achievement then in sport?
I hope it's still to come.
The best is yet to come.
I don't know. I look back, I think you always think you could have done better, but I certainly could have done worse. I think I wrapped up with 9 national titles, a sub 4-minute mile, which we were chatting about earlier, which I'm proud of. What else? Won the European Cup. 14th in the Olympics, 15th in the Worlds. 2 fourths. So I guess I don't know. It's always good to go to the Olympics, albeit it's just the same people you're racing against, but it's still very, very special.
Without a doubt.
Because that's what you start off with. So I'd say that, or maybe probably the sub 4-minute mile actually is I'm proud of.
That is unbelievable. It is absolutely magnificent.
It is for an 800 meter runner because it's pretty long when you get the lap 3.
Yeah, so. I think it's fantastic for any type of runner. I think it's absolutely brilliant. So tell us a wee bit. So moving on then, that's your career and your career. How long did your career last?
It lasted 13 years. So actually I got kicked off lottery because you effectively need to be in the top podium. So needed to be in the top 10 in the world. And as soon as you start to slide off that, you get taken off funding, which means you get taken off medical support, which is a big thing in terms of physio and everything else. So my team got a lot weaker when that happened, which was 2008. I qualified actually for the 1500 at the World Indoors. I'd done it and I pulled out with, I tore my intercostal muscles, which actually, Phil, I thought it happened in 1,000 metres in Ghent a week before. And I actually, believe it or not, thought I had a heart attack because it felt, you're like, my brother's a doctor, and he's like, no, you definitely didn't have a heart attack because so I was like, right, well, he says it's musculature. So I retired after that because it was like, I can't do it anymore. But then I came back for the Commonwealth Games in New Delhi in 2010 because I always wanted to finish there. Mm-hmm. But when I did come back for it, it was gone. If it makes sense, the fire wasn't, it was different. I was different. Yeah. So 1998 to 2010 is when I retired, I went into, did my MBA at Ulster University, and then I went into commercial sport with a sports brand. So I was there for 8 years. And then, like most people in sports brands, they want to do some for themselves. And then that's when we started the Antrim Coast Half Marathon, which was in 2020 through COVID, not the best time to start. So that was sort of my career from running. So went and got educated in the 30s and then went into commercial sport.
So now you're doing the Antrim Coast Half Marathon. Tell us a wee bit about that.
Yeah, well, the Clearwater Antrim Coast Half Marathon now.
Clearwater,
we started in 2020. Sir Mo Farah and Lily Partridge won the first inaugural race, which was amazing to have Mo there. He's my old flatmate and my old roommate in athletics. So that was, it was nice for him to support. And he ran actually very well. He probably could have ran under 60 minutes and broke the British record, which is what he was wanting, but we didn't get that. But anyway, best endeavours. And that started off with a paltry 52 people because it was painful enough to get that through COVID, if you remember, in terms of social gatherings and everything else. And then 2021, it springboard from there. We got a bit of a reputation in the elite side of things, and we were fortunate enough to have a world record, which was actually only the third time in the UK or Ireland it's ever been achieved. The other two times it was in the London Marathon, 2005, and then Paula broke when she broke it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that didn't get ratified. The course was deemed 54 metres short, so we went from the fastest race in the world to the shortest. Yeah. Which wasn't great. But anyway, Yalom Zerf came back, the lady that broke it. She broke the UK and Irish all-comers record in 2022, which is a big thing. And then this year we were the second ranked.
I watched it. I mean, participated in, not as an elite athlete, just as a regular runner. I did watch it. And I saw her break the. Yeah, it was absolutely. It was a brilliant run.
She's my favorite athlete, but I shouldn't say that. She is my favorite athlete.
Person,
she's amazing. She really, and she actually runs a bit like Sebastian Coe did in the 800s. I don't know if you remember, just fearless, you know, just went out, goes out like a lion, and no matter what, doesn't even care about the weather, and just, she's brilliant.
Just keeps going.
And she's just so small as well. You're like, my God, please don't be windy, but she's brilliant. So hopefully we'll get her back again. Certainly we're aiming for Yealand Reserve to come back to the Antrim Coast in 2024. That would be the ambition. We'll probably know after the spring marathons, but that's the plan.
And it is... not just because it is absolutely lovely. Mm-hmm. If you get a good day, you have a cracker. It really is beautiful.
It's getting easier for us because actually that's a big selling point. It's also you know, it's an area of outstanding natural beauty. It's on that sort of Antrim Coast Plateau. It's UNESCO World Heritage Site and everything else. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very left field and different for the elite runners that come. They're used to not being near any people, big hotels, security cordoned off. They go from a police outriders to the start, whereas they're just enveloped by locals who love them coming. So they love that. So that actually makes the job a lot easier, a lot easier. And, you know, they're actually the easiest people to work with. You know, all the complaints comes from other people, should I say, because it's, you know, if you ask them to do something, it's done.
Yep. So... moving on with that, what's the future? I read somewhere, were you thinking of an event where you could have had sort of British athletes v the Americans or something?
Yeah, that's always on their agenda. So we'll
be a cracker.
I'd like a Ryder Cup.
Yeah, that would be brilliant.
I'd like a Ryder Cup, and we will bring that in at some point.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible. There's not enough of us just to get... there's a lot of conversations to that.
Yeah.
But that'll happen.
Okay.
So I think we're 26 nationalities in the elite this year. And I know there's Japanese and Chinese runners coming for the first time next year, which is amazing.
And would that be like a festival of running? Would it be over 10K half marathons? Or
I don't want to say too much because the rest of the team's going to kill me. But there's going to be, it's coming obviously in the Olympic year, Paris.
Yeah.
100th. Centenary from the 1924, the Chariots of Fire Olympics.
Yeah, all right.
So we're looking at two other events this year in Northern Ireland, and then we'll probably cast our net a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
Plan, which is, there's conversations going on at the minute. The Northern Ireland's events are in a very advanced position, so that'll happen middle of the year, and which will follow on to the Antrim Coast in August, which is... basically the first race after the Olympics. So there's going to be a lot of heat on that, especially with the planned targets that we're getting. One of them will certainly be front and centre of the Olympics in the 5 and 10K. We'll consolidate the Antrim Coast. The half will get bigger, which it's already, the numbers are probably doubled in versus last year, the year to date, which is good. And then we'll start a couple other events in Northern Ireland. That'll be the plan, which I can't say too much about. I can't say more than that, actually. They're not done, but they'll certainly be as exciting as the half.
Right, okay.
So
I'll not press you.
No, but the same type of personnel.
Yes. Right, so now, setting aside your career, setting aside the Antrim Coast, how do you look after yourself now? Because that's a pretty...
There's a lot going on. And it's stressful. It's exciting, and you have to. You know, it's just you can't run anymore at a competitive level. So it's pretty much the next best thing. So you've still got, like, our whole year works towards one weekend. So that's the same as going into the Olympic Games or the World Championships or anything else. So that's amazing. How I keep fit. I had a meniscus repair, which was an old competitor did it, Curtis Robb. So he said, James, you've got a beautiful knee. So I was like, don't get that often. But I would still run two or three times a week.
Yep.
We've been very, very busy, but the New Year's resolution is we'll do. It was meant to do Hamburg Marathon. It was meant to do a load of halves and marathons this year, which we didn't do, but we'll get back to that, Ruth and I, next year. Because it really is healthy body, healthy mind. And the stresses you can take much, much better when you're physically at yourself. And there's no doubt about that. Now, going back to my old athletics career, we always were basically contracted to do Pilates, or as I call them, from Lauren Pilates. We have to... But that's my New Year's resolution. So I'll get back to Pilates because that keeps all the aches and pains at bay. So to answer your question, it's humbling when you go out and do a race because you just get massacred, but I love it. So I'll get out and do that, certainly one every quarter, and run probably 3 to 5 times a week.
Get yourself back out. Well, I've two more questions, and I think that you are the fastest man from the island of Ireland over 800 metres.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Correct.
There we go. That's some feat. Unbelievable. Magnificent. And then the last question, what makes you happy?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The hardest question?
It is. What makes me happy? So, you know what? It sounds cliched. Seizing the day makes me happy. Getting up and endeavouring to do your best every day. Family makes me happy. So the simple things, I'm a very, 100%. Ask Ruth, I'm a very simple person. Mm-hmm. So, the simple things make me happy. And I love putting the event on because it's just a celebration of human potential. Mm-hmm. Literally, that, I mean, when you see people, and you can't do it anymore, striving to run a world record. And that's not only an open world record, the fastest of all time. It can be, we've had master world records, we've had fancy dress world records, we've had people with mental health issues come back and run PBs and get lovely, lovely. That's what I live for. It's what Ruth loves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes all the work and all the bad times worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. And having run the half marathon at the Antrim Coast, you've got some famous pacers like Joe Pavey, I think was he was one.
Another favourite person of mine. So yeah, Joe's Joe, Katrina McKernan. So both ladies. Mm-hmm. I hope they listen to this because they know they're back every year anyway.
Yeah.
So that's actually,
that's a great draw.
Oh, they're brilliant.
To have people.
I love Sonia there as well. Sonia said she's going to come sometime as well. So that's Sonia Sullivan. We'd love her. But Katrina and Joe are brilliant. And Gemma Steele, brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're pacers.
Yeah.
Well, Katrina isn't, but I mean, when you hear Katrina and Joe speaking in the endurance clinic. So one of the things we do is have an endurance clinic for all the friends of the Antrim Coast event. So all the club runners, they're all welcome to come. It's a very personal, intimate location. And you have, it started with Haile Gebrselassie, who didn't get his visa. So we had the Haile Gebrselassie clinic with no Haile Gebrselassie, although all his training group were there. But, Joe was there that year, and then we brought Katrina in.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear them assemble the marathon or the 10K. I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And, you know, what they do when they go wrong, things go wrong, or what they diet-wise, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So that insight's worth millions.
How can people find you then, James? Where can we find the Antrim Coast Half Marathon?
Yeah, so I'm hoping it'll be on a lot of press and media coming very shortly, but it's on www.antrimcoasthalfmarathon.com, and entries, all information's there, or else just reach out.
Mm.
All our social platforms, if you put Antrim Coast, you'll find all the social handles.
What time of the year is it?
So it's always Bank Holiday August, so it's the 25th of August this year, which will be 3 weeks after the Olympic Games. I can say that it'll be the strongest elite field, I want to say ever, in the UK or Ireland, but it'll certainly be stronger than we've ever had. And there is...
Sounds good.
Fingers crossed, one ginormous, as big as you can get in endurance running, hopefully coming this year.
Happy days. So we'll leave it on that note, James. Thanks very much for coming in.
Pleasure.
Great to have you here.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Not at all. Thank you.